The old brethren used to say, one time more. For some of us, maybe all of us, it's one time less. Do you realize what we've done? We've come here just a group of men and women, brethren and sisters, really, joint heirs with Jesus Christ as part of his family, not all of his family. He has a lot of family, lots of places, but this is a part of his family. And we've looked within ourselves a little. That wasn't much fun, that self-examination business. We don't like to think about it. We don't even like to, you know, some of us have recurring problems that, as a young man, I had a temper, and about the time I think I've got that under control, I don't. And so there's things like that that follow us all of our life. But I can say that it's not as bad as it used to be. And the times when I'm stop and think before I spout off, it's better to pray about it. I remember one time I had a landscape architect working for us, and he was in a wheelchair. I think that's one reason I hired him, because I had some empathy for him because my father was in a wheelchair. He was a good draftsman, did a good job for us. But one time, the secretary called me into the office, and she says, "Mark, do you know what Dave's been doing? He's been telling people that the company's too busy to draw a plan for him, but he would do it on the side, right there in my office." I came in and fired him right then. Probably deserved to be fired, but not the way I did it. Not the way I did it. I remember one time that I disciplined my boys when they were teenagers. And they deserved to be disciplined. But not the way I did it. Their mother was upstairs crying. And when I calmed down, I apologized to them for what I'd done. Aren't we glad that God forgives those things and he also softens those things with time? In 1 John, in the second chapter, I think we read these words. He's talking about, "My little children, these things are right unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And he goes on then, and in the 12th verse, he says, "I write unto you little children," and there's some little children here tonight. I think it might have a dual meaning. I think in John's eyes, he was the old apostle then, might have been 90 years old when this was written. And so he thought all of them that he was writing to were little children. He said, "I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers," and there's fathers here tonight, "because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men," and there's young men here tonight, "because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you young men because you're strong. You know, when you're dealing with Satan, you're not as strong as you think you are. Except that he's promised that greater is he that's within you than he's within the world. If you have on the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit, all the armament that protects you, you can do anything. Is anything too hard for God? But you know what your problem will be? All you young men, the problem is it's easy to rejoice in your strength. It's easy to rejoice in the size of your biceps and the strength of your legs and your coordination and the things that you hope to accomplish or maybe you even have accomplished. And if you dwell there very long, it'll be a snare to you. You know, this world's all about scarring people and wounding people and addicting people to their cell phones. And I had an experience not too long ago that was humbling to me. I don't know how your phones are, but my phone, it tells me each week how much time I had on the phone. And Lorraine looked at my phone, and I don't forbid her looking at that, and she says, "Mark, your screen time is up a lot this week." And it was. You know, it's awful easy when you're driving and you stop at a stop sign and the light is red to pull out your phone and look at it. Or when you're waiting in line to pull out your phone and look at it. And maybe there's nothing that you're looking at as bad. I don't look at pornography. I don't look at evil things. But I get addicted, if I'm not careful, to some of the news, keeping up with what's going on in the world and what's going on in Israel. And I think the old brethren, I can remember old brethren that have passed on years before, and they said they read the newspaper to find out what God was doing. If we're not careful, we make excuses for ourselves. I think if Lorraine would look at my phone Monday, she would find out there's hardly any screen time. You know why? All my time has been here with you folks, reading my Bible, preparing to come here, no time for those things. I've enjoyed meeting some of you young men. I can't remember your names very well. Do you know one of the things I look at? I've hired a lot of young men in my life, hundreds of them. And I like to look in the eyes of young men. Looking in your eyes, they're open. You're not hiding. But I've had young men that there was a shade upon their eyes. They were hiding. They didn't want me to see inside very far. I'm so glad it's not that way with you. I'm glad to see a love feast at Stillwater like this one. A lot of young men, a lot of young ladies, little children. I was here one time and I really thought there was no more hope for Stillwater. I was just waiting for the news that the doors had been shut for the last time. But I don't think it's that way now. I think there's every prospect that this church will go on until Jesus comes. One time I took a trip with Mike Miller, called Following the Steps of Paul. And we flew to Istanbul, and then we flew down to Tarsus, where Paul's hometown was. And then we took a bus ride up through Turkey, what the Bible calls Galatia. And we visited the seven churches of Asia. None of them are there now. Some places there's only a hill, a mound that we crawled up on top of that hill, and there's nothing there. Some places there's a few ruins and a few buildings. You know what will make it possible that that not happen here? You and you and you and your companions and your children. And you know, you sitting there on the back bench, if you would like to have the privilege of this church going on, you're going to have to get off the fence sometime. You can't have your cake and eat it too in this world. You're going to have to either put your shoulder to the wheel or you're going to vote to shut the church down. That's your call. You know, when young men or young women make wrong choices, and I've known many that have, they hurt their father and mother. They hurt their ministry very much. But you know who they hurt the very most? They hurt themselves. I remember a story one time maybe I've told it before. Some of you have heard it. I probably have, but it was about the story of a noted jewel thief in the 1920s. And he became famous, really, because he only stole from the very rich. And if they had a lot of jewels, well, he only took the very best ones. And so it almost became a point of pride among these very wealthy people in New York that this man stole some of my jewels. Well, they finally caught up with him and put him in prison for a little while, but he escaped out of that and went back into it again. And then he was betrayed by some girlfriend of his and spent 18 years in prison. He was finally released and went up to a little town, this is a true story, up in the New England states and started a new life again. And nobody knew. He became a good citizen in that town, and nobody knew anything about his past, but a reporter happened to come by that had known him in New York City and recognized him and wrote an article about him. All kind of reporters came in there, and one of them asked him this question. You stole a lot of jewels from a lot of very wealthy people. Who'd you steal the most from? And he said, I stole the most from myself. I could have been a doctor. I could have been a businessman. I could have been an accountant. But I lost 18 years of my most productive life. I stole it from myself. I can't get that back. I don't want that to happen here. I don't want that to happen to these little boys and girls. I don't want it to happen to any of us. I don't want us to lose faith. We're a long ways away, clear out in California. But we need you here. I happen to think that maybe you need us too. I think we're stronger together than we are by ourselves. And so we can build each other up. We can hold each other up. But you know, I feel sorry for young men and young women in today's time. I think the temptations are, there's no temptations that have taken you but what's always been, but it's more available. It's more prevalent and it'll scar you. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to scar us and mar us and take us down. But remember, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Had a good evening. Sometimes I think You know, why does there have to be a Monday? Why couldn't it always be Sunday? Why couldn't it always be these times? But, you know, he's told us to occupy until he comes. It's right for us to go to work. It's right for us to provide for our families. It's right for us to do those things. But moderation in all things. Sometimes it's easy to get too caught up, and I've said before to my companion that I think my work has got in the way of my ministry, and my ministry has got in the way of my work. But that's the maybe way it should be, as long as we can keep that in balance. I want to leave you with one more scripture, and we find that in the 20th chapter of Acts. It's a beautiful scripture, but it's a tear-jerking scripture too. You know, Paul was at Miletus. I've been to Miletus. Now where the ships came in is way, it's all land, it's all silted in there and you can't even see the area, but he was at Miletus and he was coming by ship down the coast headed to Jerusalem. And he asked the Ephesian elders to come down to the sea coast to meet him there. And I'm in the 20th chapter of Acts, if you want to follow, but I'll tell you about it. And he met them there, and he prayed with them down by the seaside. And he tells us in the 28th verse, he tells them, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." That's admonition to you, brethren. And you, brethren, you have a responsibility. You're not just there just to kind of make soup and meat. You have a responsibility to look after the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I pray that not be the case of anyone here. I pray with my whole heart that not be the case. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God in the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among the sanctified. That's true for all you young men. It's true for all of us old men. It's true for those that have responsibility in the church. And I hope it's true for you young men and you young girls that you allow the Lord to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. The Lord bless us all. Now we've been together, and we're going to invite everyone, the communicants and the visitors and everybody, let's rise and we'll have a closing prayer.